Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening. And now, senores y señores del Brasil and UFC fans watching around the world, live from the sold-out HSBC Arena in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. It's time!
Hi, welcome to another edition of Hot Takes. I am Eric Nifong. You can find me on Twitter at @E_Nifong, and I'm joined by Nolan Haig. You can find him on Twitter at NJH09. And Super Bowl week, a lot of time off between some games, but I'm ready for this game to get going. And know we'll have quite a bit to say about that tonight. Got some other topics here. I'm going to talk a little bit about some NBA rumors and some Johnny Manziel. Quickly go over our hot picks from last week, but how has your week been so far? How was your birthday yesterday?
It was all right. Had to work, but ended up going out to dinner with some family. That was pretty cool. And then tonight, my sister bought me dinner, so that was cool too. So two nights in a row, I kind of milked that.
That's always good. Getting a couple free dinners in there. And
right.
Feel any older? Quarter of a century old now.
I don't know. I'm trying not to think about it, but
let's go ahead and get into these games here. And we picked some college basketball games. We had three on slate, and we actually picked the same upset game, which was college basketball as well. So just we can start off there.
That might have been the best game.
Yeah, most definitely.
That we picked.
I actually watched the Xavier and Providence game. It was a pretty good game. Providence just couldn't get over the hump. Chris Dunn had a pretty good game, but Xavier was definitely the better all-around team, which you had said, and the reason why you picked him. I went with Providence. You had Xavier. And what did you like from Xavier in that game?
I mean, it kind of went how I was hoping it would. Xavier just ended up hitting more shots. I mean, Providence played their zone, but Xavier was knocking them down. A few of them really late in the shot clock. After a while, there's going to be killer. A lot of runs, a little bit of back and forth in this game. But, yeah, ultimately Xavier was hitting more shots.
Yeah, and that's a good recipe for a victory, if you ask me.
Yeah, definitely. That's that's about all I got on that.
Well, let's go ahead and move on here. Our next game we picked was Iowa and Maryland, both top 10 ranked teams coming in. Iowa has been a very pleasant surprise this season for the Big Ten, but Maryland proved to be the better team. You went Maryland, I went Iowa in that one, and Maryland pulled out the victory, 74-68. Do you think that Maryland has a real shot to end up in the Final Four this year?
I think when you have one of the best players in the country, that's always a possibility. But, I mean, this game wasn't exactly inspiring. It was pretty ugly on both sides. A lot of missed shots. What was it? Maryland was 9 of 27 from the field in the second half and 0 for 10 from 3. And Iowa was 5 of 24 for the game from 3. Just not a lot of clean basketball going on. But I mean, like I said, Maryland's dangerous. Like you said, they've been a pleasant surprise. They've played everybody close. They have four losses, and they've all come by a total of 18 points. So I mean, they're hanging in there, but
Yeah, you said that Iowa went 5 of 24 from three, and I think that's a huge part of their game. If they hit a good rate, about 45%, they could beat anyone in the country. But when they're not hitting those threes, it's going to be really tough for them to be able to win big games like that.
Yeah, it's also kind of a theme that Iowa State has actually gone by recently. But seems like a lot of people are following that mold of shoot as much as possible because you get that extra point.
Yeah, most definitely. I think that the three is definitely becoming a huge part of basketball, but you live by the three, you die by the three, and that's kind of what happened in Iowa that night.
Yep. Speaking of Iowa State, that was the next game that we had. They actually lost to Texas A&M. 72-62, and the thing is, it's actually pretty close until Danwell House kind of went off in the last 4 minutes or so with 12 points. He hit a three and then ended up with a couple layups and some free throws, just kind of helped A&M run away with it. What'd you think?
Yeah, he's been very good this season. He reminds me a lot of a former Aggie, Chris Middleton. I think he has a shot in the NBA to be a really good role player for someone, and he continues to impress, and this A&M team continues to just win ball games, and it's what it's all about right now. They're definitely the best team in the SEC, if you ask me.
Yeah, another thing I found interesting is they're actually 4-0 against the Big 12 this year, which kind of makes you wonder what if, I guess, they hadn't left. But definitely kind of fun that they can hold that over the bragging rights or whatever with Big 12 liking to claim to be the better conference. As they should, it would seem. But
Yeah, you have to believe that they're the only team that is that way against the Big 12 this year. Big 12, in my opinion, is the best conference in the nation right now. Actually, the SEC-Big 12 battle was this past weekend, and the Big 12 won 7-3, but A&M was one of those teams to win for the SEC.
Yeah, they've definitely played really well this year, and it's another team to watch as we inch closer and closer to March.
Yeah, most definitely. They could make a lot of noise come March, and I think the field's wide open for anyone right now. I don't think there's a dominant team, and you could argue Oklahoma, North Carolina, but they still have their struggles at times, and I really think that March is going to be very, very interesting this year.
Yeah, I really can't wait. It's always a blast. All right, well, I guess we got – we'll talk about, since it's a college game, finish that out. Wisconsin did beat Indiana, which we both picked the same upset for – was the second week in a row?
Yep. Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah,
maybe I should just continue to do that because that was my only win this week.
Oh, you're hanging in there. Keep your head up. But no, Wisconsin, yeah, beat Indiana. Actually needed overtime to do it. But they got big performances out of Nigel Hayes, who had 31 points, 17 on free throws, which is kind of crazy. And Ethan Happ had 25 points. But, yeah, Indiana just wasn't really right. 31 fouls led to a lot of free throws for Wisconsin. and just seemed kind of out of it.
Yeah, most definitely. Wisconsin's definitely had an up-and-down year after being in the national championship game last year. But this is going to look really good on the resume come March. And Indiana's a really good team. I know they started off slow, but actually coming into that game, I think they had won 14 in a row, I believe. So it was a big win for Wisconsin.
Definitely. Another thing them having to deal with, their coach leaving mid-season can't be easy on these guys.
Yeah, and who knows, it could have pulled them closer together, and they're going to need a couple more of these wins going forward.
Yeah, all right, well, I guess that leaves the one NBA game that we picked, Spurs and Cavs. Cavs kind of handled business. What'd you like about it?
Yeah, it was actually their fourth win in a row. Tyronn Lue has his team running up and down the court. Reports came out that they actually had a players-only meeting before Blatt was fired, and they really, Kyrie, LeBron, and Kevin Love really wanted to take the pressure and put it on their own shoulders. They are, what LeBron said, they're the head of the snake, and they've really gotten it going. It's going to be interesting to see if this is enough. It's just one game that they got going in there, but they really took apart a great Spurs defense.
Yeah, which leads me to a question I guess I had is, Kawhi Leonard's kind of been, I guess I don't want to say worked, but I can't really think of anything else to say at the moment, by LeBron and Steph Curry recently. Is he all right? Or, I mean, do you think it's just more Steph and LeBron are just playing at that level right now? I mean, obviously LeBron probably feels like he has something to prove, and with Steph, they're chasing history, but...
What I always say is great offense will always be great defense no matter what, and that's basically Steph Curry and LeBron in a nutshell. LeBron's much bigger than Kawhi. I think he can use that power, and Steph Curry is just he has handles like no one else. Kyrie Irving's right there with him in that fact, but Kyrie Irving can't knock down the jumper like Steph Curry can, and it's very hard to guard that. You could be up in someone's face, but if shots are gonna fall no matter how good defense you play.
No, yeah, that's well said. I mean ultimately when it comes down to it, yeah, these guys are just the two best players in the league right now this second. But
don't forget about
the Spurs are going to be all right, right? I mean, it's not like these losses are going to hurt them in the long run.
I actually think they're kind of in trouble. The only reason why I say that is because they're just not athletic like these other top teams. I think Oklahoma City is much more athletic. I think they'd have really tough time with them if they met them in the playoffs. Same thing with Golden State. And if they somehow got past them, I think those questions would be answered. But Cleveland can make the same argument.
Yeah, this is actually Cleveland's first win against Golden State, San Antonio, and or Chicago, which kind of makes you worry if the least athletic team is the one that they can beat. Can the Cavs really hang with whoever they're going to play in the finals if they get there?
All right, so I have a question. Why...
Okay.
Why did we throw Chicago into that right there?
It was just because what I was reading in a story about the game. I just found it kind of interesting. I feels like Chicago would be their top competition
in the East.
In the East.
I don't know. They don't even have home court advantage right now. in the first round. They're sitting at the 5 seed. Toronto is actually the second best team in the Eastern Conference, and I don't know why Chicago keeps getting thrown into that. I know a lot of people keep putting them up there, but I don't know, just kind of throws me off a little bit.
It's the same thing. It still feels like that they should be there. It's probably like the Clippers or somebody. Like you could see it, but I don't know how realistic it's going to be.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I do think that Derrick Rose is kind of coming on right now, and if him and Jimmy Butler can kind of get a good chemistry going, Pau Gasol is absolutely defying father time and playing great. I think that Cleveland is far and away the best team in the East, and I thought that before David Blatt was gone, but who knows?
I mean, well, yeah. Now they've won 5 in a row. It looks like they've gotten kind of a second wind, if you will. And I mean, when you've got LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, the sky's the limit. So we'll just have to see. It's going to be an interesting next couple months.
Yeah, I think I actually think the toughest team that Cleveland will face will actually be Indiana if Indiana makes it. They're sitting at the 8 seed right now. That's who they play in the first round. I think Paul George is one of the few guys that can guard LeBron. I really liked what Miles Turner has been doing for them lately. And I don't know if you saw it last night, but that rejection he had on the LeBron dunk, that was nasty. But anyway, I also think that Monte Ellis, he's kind of the wild card right there. He hasn't really got it going this season, but if he does, I think Indiana could put up enough points to hang with Cleveland and give him a nice series.
All right. Well, that gives some added excitement to the Eastern Conference playoffs because I don't know. Just it seems to be all about the West right now, but and once again, Cleveland's to lose. So, all right. Got anything else?
No, I think we can talk a little bit about these rumors that are going around.
Right.
Well, I will finish it off here.
Okay. It seems like this happens about this time every year, especially with Durant lately.
Yeah. Hold on. I went 1-4 this week, got the upset. You went 4-1, got your upset. So right now, sitting at 9-10, 2-1 in upsets. You're 12-7, and 2-1 on your upset. So it's looking a lot like last time.
I mean, was it over for Peyton when he got benched?
No, but thanks for the confidence, I guess. I'll take it.
You can be Peyton Manning, the Peyton Manning of picking games.
I guess. I need a little spruce.
Okay, well, about these rumors then. So, which do you want to see more? Russ and Kevin Durant in LA, or Kevin Durant in Golden State?
Well, if he goes to Golden State, the NBA should just not even play. But
just shut down.
Yeah, just shut down, give him the trophy the next 4 or 5 years. But I don't think he's going to be going to Golden State. I don't think he'll be leaving Russell. I really think that all of the scrutiny they got early in their careers has really brought them together, and I think they want to play together. I think they want to win a championship together, no matter where that is. What I ultimately think is going to happen is Kevin Durant's going to sign a one-year deal back in OKC, not only to be as a free agent with Russell Westbrook, but also in 2017, the cap goes up even more, and he'll make the most money he can make at this point of his career. And I really think that's probably the best option for him. It gives him one more year in OKC, and then they'll be free agents together, and who knows? Who knows where they end up landing? But if they end up going to L.A., you have to think, should the Lakers have taken Jahlil Okafor?
You can't really look back on that, especially if you end up with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. I think you just say thank you and go find somebody who works. A defensive center type. But, I do think that, yeah, it's if the bond between the two is as tight as it seems, that, yeah, that why it makes a lot of sense for Durant to take a one-year deal and them decide on where to go or what to do together. It really is a lot of fun watching them play together. Steph and Kevin and Clay just making it rain all over the place.
Yeah, that'd
be insane.
That would be nasty. I don't even think they would need Clay at that point, but it'd be nice to have him, I guess. A lot of moves would have to happen. They obviously wouldn't be able to bring Barnes back, but it'd probably be more of a sign and trade where OKC would get Barnes, Bogut. Oh, who was the other guys? Can't remember the other two. That would probably have to go. I don't even want to think about it.
As for the whole Lakers thing, it's the NBA is more fun when the Lakers are good, so that would be, I think it'd be good for the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
It'd just be awful for Oklahoma City, because that's a great fan
Oklahoma
base.
Oklahoma City would be kind of just left in the dust. I mean, they wouldn't.
With Billy
they'd
Donovan.
Have to restart. Yeah, they'd have to restart everything. And wouldn't it be good, but I don't know. I really, really think OKC has a good shot this year. I know Golden State's far and away best team. San Antonio's really good. But Oklahoma City just keeps winning, and no one's really talking about them. So I really like their roster. I think it's the best roster they've had since 2012. And I know I've said it, but don't sleep on the Thunder this year.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. All right. I guess let's get into some football, since this is the last week that we'll be able to talk about it, at least actual game, for a while. But first, I guess we could touch on Johnny Manziel, because that is now a never-ending saga. I guess there was another domestic issue with his girlfriend or whatever, and there was a search that involved a helicopter at one point. I don't know, but I just think this thing has gone crazy. Obviously, Cleveland has started to leak that they're going to cut him, which may have been what he wanted all along. I mean, I don't know about the whole domestic whatever, but that's probably not the best thing for him. But what do you think about all this?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really have much to say. I think his time in Cleveland is definitely up. I think he'll get another shot somewhere. I know a lot of people are kind of like, well, he needs to go somewhere that he can't go out and party. So New York and L.A. and Miami and all these places are out of the picture.
You can find somewhere to party anywhere.
he was partying in Cleveland. I mean, he's going to do it anywhere he goes. So
yeah,
I don't really see how
and,
that would be.
And when he wasn't, he was leaving Cleveland to go to Las Vegas, even when he was supposed to be around for a game.
Yeah, it really.
I mean, I don't know.
Just don't get that argument. And I mean, he's going to find a way. I mean, he's obviously getting money from the NFL. He wasn't hurting on money before that. And he's going to find the way. I think it all just comes down to him to see what he really wants. And
I mean, I don't know. Obviously, this latest thing, it really worries you. I mean, if it was still just him going out and partying, then I feel like more teams would be willing to take a chance. And he apparently his people or whatever leaked that. We're trying to say that there were teams interested in him, including the Chiefs and the Rams, which, I mean, I guess I could see it, but at least from the Chiefs' standpoint, like, checking in. But, I mean, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like he'd be worth it at this point.
Yeah, pretty much. And there's also the reports that Hugh Jackson, part of his interview was to see if they could cut ties with Johnny Manziel. So, I mean, it doesn't seem like he's really wanted besides Jimmy Haslam. And we've seen that saga before when your owner wants someone but your coach doesn't, Vince Young. But, yeah, it's going to be very, very interesting offseason for Johnny Manziel to see what ends up happening. There are also reports about him going to the Chiefs. What would you think about that?
But Johnny Manziel?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was just saying, I mean, if it happened, I mean, obviously they think that there's a shot, and I think if anybody signs him at this point, it'll have to be a 1 year prove it deal, prove that you won't get into trouble for a year, and we'll consider giving you a bigger contract. But I mean, right now I don't think it makes sense for anybody. Even I mean, I guess maybe Jerry Jones because he's crazy like that and actually has a starting quarterback for the time being.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, him going back to Texas would really concern me, I guess. But it's going to be concerning no matter where he goes. So we'll just have to see.
Yeah, like I said, I just think he's going to have to prove it. Anyway, that's enough of that. Let's actually talk about this game. Panthers, Broncos, here we go. Super Bowl 50.
Yeah, it's almost here.
I feel like, I don't know, I really wanted to see the Panthers in the Super Bowl, but not so much the Broncos. But I mean, the Broncos defense has been really good, but so has the Panthers. I think it's really going to be just defensive showing for the most part. Points are going to be hard to come by.
Yeah, I tend to agree here. It's going to be very, very defensive oriented game from both sides. I think whatever defense plays better could possibly win, but I also think Carolina has far and beyond the best offense in the game, and I think that's going to be the deciding factor in the end.
Yeah, the thing that I find interesting about when the Panthers offense is on the field is you'd think, oh, well, are the receivers going to be able to overcome Denver's corners? And I don't really think that matters. Like, the Panthers have been doing it without elite receivers all year, and I mean, by not really playing into one of the Broncos' strength of their secondary, I mean, it's really gonna, you're just gonna have to run the ball, and the Panthers do that really, really well.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the biggest factor. Is they're going to start off running. They're going to pound right at Denver. Might not get anything going early, but I think it's really going to take a toll on them towards the end of the game. And I just think having to tackle Jonathan Stewart, Mike Tolbert, is going to be a task. And then, oh, yeah, you all 6'6", 250-pound quarterback that you have to try and tackle. And that can really wear out a defense.
Right. And if you're running the ball, you're taking Denver's other strength, which is that pass rush. You're starting to take that out of the game, and you're tiring out Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware. And then when they actually do get a chance to rush Cam Newton, you're going to have to bring down Cam Newton, which is not an easy task. And you better believe Cam's going to be ready to make all the plays because that's how he is. And I see him shaking off two or three should be sacks in this game.
Yeah,
and big yardage.
Yeah, and everyone's talking about the Denver pass rush, but the Panthers' offensive line has been surprisingly really good this season, in my opinion. And they better hope that they can get pressure on Cam, because if they can't, it could be a long day.
Yeah, and everybody wants to talk about Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware and how vicious they were against the Patriots. Well, that Patriots didn't have a good offensive line, and they just weren't executing. Really, you should worry about Denver's offensive line against Carolina's front seven, because they've got guys coming from all over the place. Kawan Short was a beast in the NFC title game. And if Peyton Manning doesn't have time to throw, guys like Josh Norman, Kurt Coleman are going to sit back and knock balls down and get interceptions. Not to mention Luke Kuechly is probably is always dangerous in the passing game.
Yeah, most definitely. And I also don't have the numbers in front of me, but Cam Newton this season, his best numbers have come against the blitz. The Cardinals were the top blitzing team in the NFL this season. He still had all day to throw, and he made it look easy. So I don't really know where you go from that, but if you do rush Cam Newton, beware. Or blitz, I guess.
No,
not
definitely.
Rushing.
No, I don't know how much the Broncos are gonna change what they want to do for Cam, but I mean, it's going to be either go after him or stay back and let him throw it. And he's been throwing it as good as he ever has.
Yep, I think this just might be the year of Cam. But if the Broncos do win it, I will be happy for Peyton. It'll be nice for him. Don't want the Broncos to win it, but I've always kind of liked Peyton. So it would be nice for him to go out on that way and not get all the adversity that he gets in the playoffs.
Okay. I got a question. Who does this win mean more for, Cam or Peyton?
At this point, I think it's going to be Cam, just because Peyton, if he does win, I still think there's going to be that, oh, he won it because of his defense, had his worst year of his career, all that kind of talk. But if Cam wins it, people aren't going to be able to really say too much anymore. There'll still be the haters that just don't like him dancing and all that stuff, but he could really, I mean, he's going to have to buy a new trophy case.
Yeah, no, I think it, yeah, I think it's definitely means more if Cam wins, because it finally gets him to a point where nobody can tell him anything. He was Heisman Trophy winner, national champion, number one overall pick, rookie NFL MVP most likely, and then he'd be Super Bowl MVP. I mean, assuming he has this great game.
Also,
and it's just, I mean, it finally gives him that point where you can't say anything else to me. I mean, Peyton, he's already there. I mean, it doesn't do too much if this is his last game or not.
Yeah, and don't forget, he also won a JUCO national championship. That's just a little mark on his trophies there.
I mean, it's insane. He just, all he does is win.
Yeah.
And be the best player while doing it.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think the only way it affects Peyton is if they go out there and lose like they did to Seattle, 2 years ago? So I think that's the only way that it could really hurt Peyton at this point.
I mean, if he gets it, then I don't know. I don't think it changes anything. He's obviously not a bro of Brady, at least for me, when it comes down to it. Yeah, it gets him two, which ties him for Eli, I guess. So, I mean, Eli can't couldn't hold that over his head anymore. I mean, Peyton Manning, probably the greatest regular season quarterback of all time. Probably one of the best team carriers, word I just invented, I guess, of all time, just constantly doing it by himself until this year, ironically enough. And it wasn't enough. He couldn't. Kind of sucks. Because, I obviously haven't been too high on Peyton Manning, but when he was with the Colts, I definitely liked him more than other quarterbacks, I guess.
Yeah, there was always that battle between Manning and Brady. I would always take Manning over him. Went to the Broncos, not the biggest fan of the Broncos, so didn't really want to see him win one past that. But hey, if he does, hats off to him, and what a way to ride out on the Sunday.
Okay. One more bonus crazy question. What if he wins the game, announces his retirement, and then it comes out that he did take HGH?
I really don't know.
Does it ruin everything?
I don't think it ruins everything. I mean, it was only the 1 year that he had the neck surgery, things like that. And how many NFL players have taken HGH? I mean, really, so.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, no. Like I said, this I feel like this game doesn't change much for him one way or the other. And yeah, the HGH thing is just a thing that's probably going to go away anyway, so. All right, starting to run out of time here, so we should probably get towards these picks.
Let's do it. Let's start off with the NBA ones, and we'll make our Super Bowl pick at the end.
All right. Here we go. Thunder Golden State. Another big matchup we got. I mean, we talked about the Thunder earlier, and we kind of touched on Golden State. Should be a good matchup, especially with the way these teams have been playing.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really good game. Golden State's won 40 straight home games, only 4 away from tying the record. But I think that streak ends on Saturday night. I think the Thunder have a lot to prove coming in this game. I mean, they hear the noise. Everyone's talking about the Warriors and Spurs, and I think they're going to come out firing. Westbrook has really, really elevated his game and become the more of the playmaker that the Thunder need. He's got 2 straight triple-doubles coming in, and he has just been phenomenal. I mean, I guess they have another game before that, so we'll have to see. But I think the Thunder win a very, very close one. I think they pull out a 1-point victory in that.
I am actually going to say yes. Yeah, the Thunder will pull it out. It's going to be a heck of a game. But, yeah, the Thunder need this one to keep things rolling. All right. our other NBA game, because it was so, I mean, games were a little sparse this week. So, Nets Sixers, who you got?
Gonna have to go Sixers. Ish Smith for MVP.
Same here. Sixers. Let's do it.
Yeah, and I actually am taking the Sixers by six.
Ooh.
That was just,
then I'll go by seven. all right.
Well,
you wanna
do our upsets?
Yeah. I've got Michigan over Michigan State. Seems like this is about when Michigan State starts to lull people into that false sense of they're not as good as we think they are, and before they make a run that everybody acted like they didn't expect. So, giving this one to Michigan.
All right. I don't know if you saw the game tonight, Michigan and Indiana. Michigan had a 24-21 lead in the first half. At halftime, they were down 46-24. Indiana went on a 25-0 run to end the half.
Wow.
Ended up losing by 13. But, yeah, so.
13's not too bad.
Yeah. We have separate upset picks this week. So, I'm actually going to say that
18-5
Southern Illinois Salukis are going to topple Wichita State in the Missouri Valley and hand Wichita State their first loss in the Missouri Valley.
All right. Big upset. Like it. All right. Well, I guess here we go. Moment of truth. Panthers Broncos. Like I said, it's going to be a defensive. I think it's going to be a defensive struggle. It's got to come down to whoever's going to make the most plays. Obviously, Cam Newton is better equipped to make those plays. I think he makes one or two more than Peyton Manning can. I think Peyton Manning is probably going to throw an interception, maybe two. If Cam can limit the mistakes, they should be fine. I'll go 17-14 Panthers.
All right. I got a little bit more of an easy win for the Panthers. I'm going the Panthers 27-13. I do think it's going to be a defensive struggle, but when we get to our hot takes, I'll tell you how they get to 27.
All right. Well, who is your MVP then?
Luke Kuechly.
Oh. I was thinking about Luke Kuechly just because I think Peyton's going to throw a pick, and I think it's going to be to him, and I think he's going to run it back. But I'm going to take the easy way out and just go Cam.
Yeah, those were my two choices. But, yeah.
Those are the only two names I wrote down.
Yep, me too. I did have Josh Norman on there, but I don't think they're going to throw towards him, so it's going to be hard for him to win MVP that way.
Which I almost blew my hot pick, but that, or my hot take, but I think that's going to happen. I think there's going to be a pick six. I think the Panthers are going to have a pick six, and I think that's going to kind of change things.
Yeah, my hot take is the Panthers score two TDs on defense or special teams, one on defense or one on special teams or two on defense.
All right, well, so now I'm glad everybody heard it here. So when the Broncos win by four touchdowns and the Panthers don't have a takeaway, everybody will know who to blame.
Yeah, pretty much. And we can get laughed at, so.
Yeah.
Whatever.
All right. Well, it looks like we got everything in for once. So
we did. Good timing. For
thanks,
Super Bowl
everybody.
Weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have a good weekend and enjoy the Super Bowl. And we'll be right here next month.